This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's coming up to 12:05 on Wednesday, the 23rd of November. It is a fairly gloomy afternoon. You're tuned into Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Lily Chai, and
Frida Liu, state of the nation. The gloominess. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we are talking about something lighter today. It's about work benefits and its role in employment, because I believe many people have realigned their thoughts on well-being, especially in the work environment, and employers are also growing more aware of the need to offer something more than just, you know, job opportunities, career progressions, and competitive salaries as well. Because, you know, the Great Resignation has been gaining a lot of momentum worldwide due to many factors, as employees have learned to shift their focus towards not just work, but their own physical and mental health. And according to the research conducted by Paychex and Future Workplace, while offering a competitive salary and higher wages is a way to attract and retain employees, well-being benefits are no longer something dispensable.
Okay, so some key pointers indicating the rising importance of employee well-being benefits are: about 6 to 10 employees indicated well-being benefits will be a requirement when they look for their next job. Now, this is especially true for the Gen Zs. But if we break it down along generational lines, 30% of boomers felt their company prioritizes their well-being, compared to 50% of millennials and 55% of Gen Z feeling their well-being is taken care of. So due to this, businesses and organizations should evaluate the type of well-being benefits and tailor them to appeal to different generations of workers, and especially in larger organizations.
Mm. Another trend that we see is not only mental well-being being high on the priority list, but financial well-being as well. So how businesses handle employee well-being in coming years will be very important and into impacting their retention and productivity efforts. Now, roughly one-third of respondents in the survey rated financial wellness as the area that they are struggling with most, and about 25% of people ranked mental and emotional well-being as an important area as well. And it was found that millennials actually do struggle more with financial wellness as compared to Gen Zs. And millennials are often referred to as the sandwich generation because they have financial commitments not only towards their children, but also their aging parents. Mm.
Some important well-being benefits identified by employees include additional paid time off, mental health support, health insurance, and financial wellness training. These are some of the benefits identified when employees were asked what the employee could do to improve their overall well-being. So after 2 years of pandemic, many working adults continue to struggle through increased stress levels, in part due to their mental health and financial well-being. A study conducted by the American Psychological Association found nearly two-thirds of adults agree that uncertainty in the coming months causes them stress. A lot of them said that the pandemic makes planning for the future feel like a distant goal. And although this was done by the American Psychological Association, I think it, you know, it's probably the same, you know, here as well.
Now, I think. And so how can businesses make employee well-being a priority then? So there are three suggested ways that business leaders or organizations can align well-being benefits with employee recruitment and retention. The first way is to build a culture of care and communicating company's well-being benefits to your employees. So overall, employee well-being is building back to previous levels after general neglect at the height of pandemic. And employees now expect support in the form of mental, physical, and financial well-being as part of the benefits package. And the total rewards package starts with compensation and health benefits, but should include a more holistic package, which includes financial and mental health benefits as well.
Another way is to understand the importance of financial wellness benefits and being clear about what's being offered. The 2021 PwC Financial Wellness Survey indicated about 70% of employees reported being stressed about finances and would leave another company that can address their financial well-being. Employees experience easy access to financial wellness education and training, reported feeling better and at ease, which can be positive for their well-being.
And having open channels to well-being, a kind of communication with your employees. So employees can look into, you know, providing mental support for their workers by embedding mental health awareness into their culture. And this can be from leader communications and maybe, you know, manager conversations with team members. So when employees feel stressed, you have to ask yourself, ask the company, if your employees know where to turn to for help when they need it, and whether they have access to cope with their stress. And having open channels of communication of health insurance and employee assistance programs are the key steps to easing mental stress post-pandemic. Mm.
And ultimately, building a culture that emphasizes care and conveying this by providing a full range of employee well-being benefits can help businesses and organizations attract and retain talents and stem the great resignation.
Mm, yeah. So we need to want to hear your thoughts about this. You know, what are some of the unique benefits that you have heard of being offered by companies or your company? You can reach us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. It's time for some messages, but we'll be speaking to Clarence Zhang, the co-founder and country manager of Benefits Malaysia. He will be joining us to discuss workplace benefits as a whole and how flexible work benefits might be the way forward. Stay with us, BFM 89.9.
Bold, fearless Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Lily Chai, and
Frida Liu.
Today, we're talking about work benefits and, you know, how work benefits as a whole can benefit employees and organizations. And basically, employees are looking towards, you know, not just work, but their own physical and mental well-being as well. We have a question for you. You know, what are some of the unique benefits that you have seen or you heard being offered by companies or your own company? You can reach us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have on the line with us Clarence Zhang, the co-founder and country manager of Benefits Malaysia, and he is here to join us for this discussion. Now, welcome to the show, Clarence. Now, to start off the conversation, perhaps you can give us, you know, an overview of how things, what things stood out for you in the 2022 employee benefits trends survey conducted by your company. What are some of the common benefits these companies give to their employees?
So based on our survey, right, the most common benefits covered by companies are hospitalization, about 75%, then followed by GP, 56%, and then health screening, 55%. These are the most common company benefits that is actually budgeted per employee, that is actually spent on. Okay, we see an increasing proportion of SMEs who view benefits as a way to generate greater employee engagement. And then it's pivoted away from just viewing benefits as a mere medical coverage benefits. So despite the growing emphasis and demand for employees' mental health and also about the wellness benefits such as gym, dental, yoga classes and all this, right? Not many companies actually implement all these solutions.
You know, something interesting that was mentioned in the study is the flexible benefits model. Could you elaborate on that and what this is?
Okay. So for a flexi benefits model, right? So what is this flexi model, benefits model, right? Is we realize a lot of companies, they want something that is not catered to just insurance plan, because insurance plan is not a one size fits all. So once you buy an insurance plan, right, employees that don't force it, don't get to use this type of benefits. Okay. So it's actually more catered to employee, take care of employee that force it. Of course, that's definitely. But those that don't fall sick, stays healthy, are not rewarded. So actually a flexi benefits plan, right, it is actually more suitable for everyone. Employees can get to choose what they want. And now company is very diversified. There's a multi-generation workforce. There's people that prefers to have a more flexi type of solution. There are also, of course, more people that actually prefers insurance type of solution. So a more flexi benefits solution is actually better for what the employees want, and employee will actually be more happy about it.
So what are the good things that will come out of this if companies decide to go with this flexible benefits model?
So firstly, right, the point number one, most importantly, right, is there's no increase in cost for the companies. So the actual company is actually paying the same amount without increasing the cost of the company. But for employers, right, there are more choices to choose from. So employees can choose what type of benefits that they want. And also more importantly, right, it promotes greater responsibility on the employee's end. So the employees has more responsibility. They know what's the budget for. They know what to use for. Okay, so imagine, right, previously a company only covers 200 ringgit to cover for outpatient, for GP, cough, flu, fever. So if you don't fall sick, you don't get to use, you don't get to utilize this benefits that's given by the company. In fact, it covers employee that so-called fall sick, and then it rewards employee that fall sick. So now if this flexi benefit model, right, employees can use this 200 ringgit that company already been paying for to be spending on something else that the employee want. So for example, dental, for example, optical, or even a gym membership. So it actually rewards employees that stay healthy. And then everyone is rewarded in such a flexi benefits plan.
Right. Are there any downsides to the flexible benefits system? And what are some of the challenges that companies will face?
Actually, there's not many pain point. But one pain point we realize, right, is on the HR end, on the HR administrative end. Okay. So imagine a company that implements this out solution because it's good for the employees. So the company implements, okay? And then let's say the budget for per employee is, let's say it's 800 ringgit. So the HR says, you guys can use for dental, optical, outpatient. If you force it, you can just spend it on this budget. Company gives you 800 ringgit to spend on this entitlement. So employee go and spend on, let's say, dental, which is good for the employee, and then they spend 488 ringgit. Okay, then the employee will go and pay first, claim back later to HR. Okay, so firstly, there's paperwork for the HR. So they need to do the claim and then do the reimbursement and stuff like that. That's point number one. Okay, point number two is that employee will ask, HR, how much entitlement I left with? Then the HR has to go and calculate 800 minus 488, later got send some more, then it's a little bit more difficult to calculate. Then the employee will know what is the coverage. Then after that, they will ask, hey, besides dental, what else am I being covered? So there's a lot of issues and problems regarding this, especially if the HR is using pen and paper or even Excel. So that's just one employee. So imagine multiply that by hundreds of employees or even thousands of employees. And then there's a lot of paperwork. So a flexi benefit system is good, but the company must have a platform that they're able to help them to manage. And with a platform to help them manage, employee know what's being covered, employees happy, HR less paperwork, and it's easier for the HR also. So it's a win-win for all.
You know, the issues that you pointed out just now, right? How can these issues be addressed? And are there other way around this?
So, of course, firstly, the company can actually choose a platform to help them to manage. So there's only a couple of platforms out there. We are one of them. So Manifest, we help the companies to manage all these different solution, wellness solution. So what we do is we actually link up with the vendors already. Okay, so employees, when they go to the vendors, it's actually straight through. Employees don't have to pay any cash. So that's point number one, it's cashless. Okay, employee knows what's their coverage. So let's say, example, back to my previous example, they spend 488, straight away they'll know how much their balance is left with. Okay, and they don't have to catch out the HR. Don't have to go and ask the HR, hey, how much balance I left with? So everything is there already. Then the HR don't have to actually do any claim submission. Don't have to do any claim submission. Everything is through the platform already. Straight away, if the boss asks, hey, today, this month, how much I've left? How much company spent? Everything is there already. So it's actually very clean and easy with a platform to help the company to manage a flexi benefit solution.
Right. Interesting, Clarence. You know, about 14 years ago, when I was working for my previous company, we already had this in place where every year we decide what sort of benefits we want. So some years could be, I want more for dental when my kid was younger. I had different things, right? So it's actually minimal work for HR once there's a platform. So obviously the technology is there if it was available 14 years ago. Now, Clarence, so it's also worth noting that healthcare benefits are not compulsory in Malaysian companies. So how many businesses here actually provide coverage for their employees?
Okay, so yes, it's actually not compulsory, but the MMCs are actually covering for them. All the MMCs are covering. And a lot of companies, of course, aspire to be like MMC coverage. So, of course, there's the people who see Google and all these, right? All the lunches. So of course, not many companies can afford this type of wellness benefit, but actually a lot of them aspire to be. So MMC are providing, okay? Definitely the biggest ones are providing the inpatient and outpatient needs already. And the smaller guys are the ones that they want to provide, but they need to find out whether they are affordable to actually provide for employees coverage, especially in these challenging times. So when the bosses are looking at top line, looking at bottom line, benefits might not be the top thing that they're actually looking at, but they're, this is the way to actually attract and retain talents.
Right. You know, previously you mentioned that, you know, health insurance is hospitality is something that most companies do cover for. But can you give us a picture about, you know, what would the average healthcare benefits for Malaysian companies look like? Like, what would they usually cover?
Of course, the first one to cover is always the, if they do cover, outpatient is always the first one, the cough, flu, fever. So employees force it, first point of, first layer, right, will always be the outpatient. Because cough, flu, fever is always the more frequent occurrence, yeah, more common. Then after that, then the inpatient. Inpatient, that is where the insurance comes in. They come with an insurance plan to cover for inpatient. But a lot of employees actually by themselves, they actually bought a hospital plan. So that's actually double cover. Okay, and then next will be for health screening. So we see from our survey, right, a lot of companies are actually doing health screening for the employees, a bit more preventive, more than the cure side. So we can see that outpatient, inpatient, and then health screening. That will be the typically healthcare benefits for Malaysian companies looks like.
All right. I want to bring up mental health because, you know, there's a growing awareness around this. Do you see businesses making more of an effort to provide support for this?
Yes, mental health. So there's a lot of talk about mental health now, because especially when we are working from home and we don't get the interaction and all this, right? A lot of talk about mental health, but to implement, right, then implement all this, right, first thing the company will think of, is there additional cost in there? That is always the first one, additional costs. Okay, but I do see certain companies, they're organizing a few talks, health talks, online talks, and even on-site talks with healthcare professionals, right, to talk about mental wellness and what a thing of mental wellness can help for employee. Yeah, of course, some companies, right, they shift to a flexible benefits plan. They give more entitlement for gym classes, for yoga classes, that will help on the mental aspects also. So there's a lot of talk about mental health, but I don't see many actions on it. But I do see companies that want to do something about it.
But could you help us understand the struggles SMEs face when it comes to providing healthcare benefits for their employees?
So based on a survey, across most of the SME, we actually mentioned cost as the number one thing that they want, because they do want to provide. It's not that they want to provide. If they can actually reduce the cost or maintain the cost and yet provide better benefits, they will definitely do it. But how to actually do it? Cost is not just giving more entitlement to the employee, but also about administrative costs. So let's say, as my previous example, if I need to hire 1, 2, 3, 4 HR just to administrative this flexi work benefit, right? Then it's actually not beneficial for the company also. So we actually see an increasing proportion of SME that they want to have further employees engagement, and then they want to actually pivot away from just the normal insurance plan. So they want to give a more flexible benefit without increasing the cost for the company. Cost is still the point number one. So reduce cost or maintain the cost, increase the benefits. So this is what the struggle SMEs are actually facing.
Talk to us about Malaysia's efforts ensuring employee well-being. How are we doing in terms of efforts and policies taking care of employees?
I think there's a lot more room for growth in terms of adopting this flexi benefits model. We can understand that more employers and employees want this approach, because as I mentioned just now, it's actually better for both employees and employers, but they don't know how to implement it. They do not want more paperwork and more hassle for both the employees and employers. Okay. So they don't want to implement higher costs or lesser the benefits. So we'd be surprised that many companies in Malaysia, right, are actually looking in depth how to further improve the employees' benefit and also how to retain and attract talents by getting better benefits for the employees.
Hmm. Right, before I let you go, can you tell us about, you know, the future of employee benefits in Malaysia? Do you see them gaining more prominence in the employment landscape moving forward?
Yes. So every company has a diversified workforce, okay? And that diversified workforce, right, comes with different needs and demands. To best meet such a variety of needs and demands, right, companies should look to provide a more customized, flexible benefits plan where each employee can choose and cater what type of benefits that is actually most meaningful for them. Okay, and then set up to a certain limit determined by the company, and then employees get to enjoy the benefits that the company has given to them, and yet the company do not have to fork out top money to actually implement such a plan. So this, in a way, will help the company to save money, improve productivity, improve employees' happiness, and in the long run, everybody wins. A win for the employee, a win for the employer.
This has been a very interesting conversation. Thank you so much. We've been speaking to Clarence Zhang, the co-founder and country manager of Benefits Malaysia. He discussed, you know, workplace benefits as a whole, why is it important, and flexible work benefits that companies could implement in their companies to better their employees' well-being. Now, that brings us to the end of the show. But don't go anywhere, because right after the 1 p.m. news bulletin, we've got the Breakfast Grill replay. Now, the negotiations to form the next government of Malaysia following the GE15 have yet to yield results. But there have been surprises and U-turns over the past few days. And meanwhile, the political polarization at the elite level is also reflected in public and social media discourse, raising concerns about the unity of Malaysian society. So what challenges will the next government need to contend with to rebuild the consensus of Malaysia? The Morning Run in the Breakfast Grill spoke to Professor Mohamad Tajuddin Rusty, the professor of architecture at UCSI, and Meredith Weiss, the professor of political science of State University of New York. That's coming up after the 1 p.m. news, but for now, we'll be back same place, same time tomorrow. I'm Lily Chai with Frida Liu, and this has been Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.